Hello and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. Today we're talking again with Mike McCune of Park Bridge Marinas. You'll remember that last week Mike shared details with us about Georgian Bay. We've brought him back this week to talk about the North Channel, because we didn't quite have enough time to hit all of that last week. So before we start, I'd like to take a minute to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. And as always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses and all of our other sponsors who support the Great Loop. And one of those other sponsors, of course, is Park Bridge Marinas. So, Mike, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me back, Kim.
Before we jump into the North Channel, you mentioned last week that you would be leading a flotilla this past weekend. So fill us in. Tell us how that went and where you went.
Well, it went really well, actually. We never quite know how many boats we're going to have when this thing begins. It hovered around 45 for about 2 weeks, and the day before, we got calls from some more people. We ended up starting up the lakes with 54 boats in tow. Just leading. We were leading them. And we left here, the bottom end of Georgian Bay, and our first destination was Parry Sound, which is approximately 60 miles north of where we started from. So it was just spectacular weather, and it was a great time.
Now, is this available to anyone? If how do people find out when you're leading those flotillas and how they can get involved?
Well, normally in the wintertime, there's the Toronto International Boat Show, and we advertise all of our events at that time. Normally, it is just for our Park Bridge members, but we do have people from neighboring marinas coming in, and if timing permitted it, and there were some loopers that were up in our marinas and wanted to travel with us, we would take them no problem. It's really to bring people out to areas that they have not been to before. And to just, you know, sometimes it's a little bit scary going out there by yourself, but, you know, there's strength in numbers, and that's what we do, and everyone helps each other.
At one of our rendezvous, you were talking about a flotilla. I don't know if it was the same type of trip you're talking about today, but you showed a picture of having dinner delivered by float plane. You had pizzas brought in by float plane, which I think is a very unique experience for people. So tell us how that works when you're on Georgian Bay.
Yeah, there's not many people that can say that they had pizza delivered out in the middle of Georgian Bay, and that was something we started about 6 years ago. We have sponsors. And we thought, what can we do to make this a memorable event? And we thought, why not see if we can get our sponsors to help us rent a float plane and bring in pizzas. So we did that again this year, and I think we ended up bringing 60 pizzas in. So when that happens, it's, you know, everyone's out in their dinghies just watching this, you know, the plane. We kind of tease them first. The pilot will circle where we are first and, you know, to get the lay of the land also. And then she landed, and it took us about 15 minutes to get all the pizzas out of there. And I don't know if she's she told us she was going for pizza herself that night, but I think she was just being kind. She's probably sick of the smell right now. But it was literally, she said it was 160 pounds of pizza in her plane.
Wow. Well, definitely a unique experience. So something to look forward to if people go on one of your flotillas.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the North Channel, because loopers who are headed that way, and some of them have already reached that area. So, of course, as they finish up Georgian Bay and get ready to head back towards the U.S., they are going to be going through the North Channel. Tell us a little bit about that particular waterway, its size, what makes it so unique.
The North Channel, it's spectacular. It's a body of water along the north shore of Lake Huron in the Canadian province of Ontario. It stretches approximately 80 nautical miles from west to east, and it's about 20 miles wide. The area is really noted as one of the best freshwater cruising grounds there is in the world. Any of our looper friends that we remain in contact with and they finish the loop, they tell us that Georgian Bay in the North Channel was one of their highlights of their trips. And, you know, there we have, I think, four or five loopers in our marina right now, and we've marked some charts for them. And this is really the best time to be cruising up there. Anywhere from mid-June until late August is the ideal time to do so. It really is a highlight of the trip.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the things there are to see and do in the North Channel.
Well, you know, up in the North Channel, they're very small communities. And there's really only two industries during the summer. I mean, tourism and fishing. There is still some logging activity to the north, but the tourism and the fishing are they're the main ones, and they really rely on the tourism, and they really go out of their way to lay down the welcome carpet for everyone. You know, as you cruise north, you're seeing the top of mountain ridges, and it's called the Lacloche Mountain Range. And up there, it's very rich in limestone. And as you're cruising up, you're looking and you're thinking, boy, it looks like I'm out west in Canada on the Rockies because it's white on top. It actually looks like snow. And then once you get closer, you see that it is limestone and sparkling in the sunlight. So it's just a spectacular sight.
Mm-hmm. We do get questions a lot from members who like to fish and, of course, are concerned about as they're traveling in the loop, they don't want to have to get a fishing license in every state or province they go through. So they want to wait till they get to some really good fishing grounds to really go ahead and do that, which, of course, the North Channel would qualify for. Tell us about any regulations, any licensing needed to be able to fish while you're in the North Channel or Georgian Bay, for that matter, as well.
Yes, you do need a fishing license. I think it's a very minimal cost. I believe it's $15, and that covers you for the entire season. So, you know, once you hit Ontario waters, whether that be Ontario Lake Ontario or, you know, whatever body of water you come in on, you can purchase one, and that'll take care of all of Ontario. So you're covered that way, and you can throw your line down as you cruise and start making up those fishing stories.
Do you know, Mike, if those fishing licenses are available online, or do you get that once you arrive in Ontario?
Yeah, you can get them online, or most stops along the way they'll have access to them. So for us, for example, it's just up the road, and I mean we would just let you borrow a car and tell you where it is and go up and get it, but they are available online.
Okay. What do people catch in the North Channel? What kind of fish are out there?
Up in the North Channel you can catch pike, bass, there's perch up there, there's lake trout, in the deeper waters there's salmon season has just started, so there's a whole array of different types of fish, and up there that's the nice thing, I mean that's their livelihood is fishing also, so if you're into fishing, I mean you could sit down for hours and talk to the locals about the fishing and where to fish and how to fish up here for sure.
Okay, good. What other local things are there that perhaps most people wouldn't know about? What kind of restaurants or shops are there that you would frequent if you were in the area?
Well, again, our Ontario's really blessed in the native culture. And a lot of these small towns that you go into, again, they thrive on tourism. And, you know, they've done paintings. They'll take you for tours around the town. They'll show you what it was like 100 years ago, and you know, the food and the restaurants is just very unique to this area. So I mean, you really get a taste of Ontario and the North Channel this way. It's sometimes like you're going back in time talking to some of these people, which is very, very interesting, very unique.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a short break here and play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we'll get into some specifics about navigating the North Channel and any kinds of other resources, where anchorages are, things like that. So hang on for 1 minute. We'll be right back.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, 3 pools, and 2 restaurants. Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, 3 pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Welcome back. We're talking with Mike McCune of Park Bridge Marinas. Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about navigating the North Channel itself? What details do we need to know in order to safely navigate the area?
The one thing about the North Channel, it is marked very well, and it is actually very simple cruising. As of today, our the chart datum, we're 26 inches above chart datum today. So whatever you see on the charts, we have 26 inches more of water. The navigation, it's probably one of the simplest areas you'll ever be able to navigate. There's a few key charts here that you should have. Even if you have state-of-the-art equipment, it's always recommended to have the Canadian hydrographic charts. And I will just rhyme them off here very quickly. From the beginning of at the bottom of Georgian Bay to the Drummond Island is 2202, 2203, 2204, 2205, 2207, 2257, 2259, 2268, 2299, and 2251. They're really the key charts that you need for safe passage up in the North Channel. But again, very easy cruising. It just really highlights the anchorages and the protected spots, just in case you get caught by that wind unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. Are there any facilities, marinas, or fuel along the North Channel, or do we need to make sure that all that's taken care of before we get there?
No, when you first reach the top end of Georgian Bay, excuse me, the first stop is going to be Killarney. In Killarney, you have the Killarney Mountain Lodge and the Sportsman Inn. Both of those facilities have gas, diesel, and pump-outs. As you head west, you're going to come to Little Current that has all of the same facilities. And in Gore Bay, they also have, they're probably one of the best equipped stops along the way. They have a full channelry. They have a 75-ton travel lift, should you need to be lifted for any reason. There's a Canadian yacht charters there. His name is Ken Blodgett. He is a very kind man. He'll sit down with you, or he does sit down every morning at 9 o'clock for anyone who's traveling up there and needs to have their charts marked. He'll sit with you. You might have to buy him a coffee, but he will... marked your charts for you. But there are
sounds like it's well worth the price of a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And people have asked me, the loopers in here that have come already, and they say, you know, I got state-of-the-art stuff. And I said, you know, even, you know, if you have a power failure on board, you really want to, you know where you are. So that paper chart is worth its weight in gold, should that ever happen. Heaven forbid, but you should have those. So all along the way, Kim, there are... you know, there are stops. Some of the smaller towns, they have limited services. Most of them will have gas, but you do have to travel a little bit in order to get the diesel. And if you need service done on your boat, Little Current, Killarney, and Gore Bay are the key.
Okay, very good information. So as we continue to navigate the channel, are there any other towns that are kind of must stops along the way that you haven't mentioned?
There's not a town, but if you're going to be in the North Channel, the one bay that you want to go into is called Bay Finn. It's right along the way as you're cruising west, and it's about 5 miles in, and you'll come to the end of the bay, and it's called the Pool. And people will anchor there, and then there's a hiking trail that brings you... you probably have to hike up a hill about a half hour, but then it brings you to a lake on top of the mountains, and it's called Lake Topaz. And there's no vegetation, and there's no fish there. It's very high in sulfur, and it's just a beautiful scenery, and it's a cool lake, so it's actually very refreshing. People refer to it as the Fountain of Youth, and... it's well worth the hike up the hill. So that's in Bay Finn.
Okay. And would you recommend anchoring in Bay Finn for overnight, for a few days? How much time do we kind of need for the North Channel?
Well, for the North Channel, I would say the bare minimum would be 2 weeks to enjoy it. I've heard of people, you know, going through there in 3 and 4 days and really wishing when they look back that they had spent more time. So if you could spend three, that would be the ideal time. 2 weeks will give you a good flavor of everything that the North Channel has to offer.
Okay. So would you recommend primarily anchorages to really experience the North Channel, or would you recommend some anchorages and some marinas? What are your favorite places to spend the night while you're on the North Channel?
The three places, just because they have a little bit more activity, is Killarney, just because it has a lot of areas that you can take your dinghy out and go and visit. From Killarney, you can go to a place called Covered Portage, which is about 3 miles away. And the beautiful thing about the North Channel is that there's hiking trails everywhere and, you know, fresh blueberries everywhere that you can pick and eat along the way. The second place would be Little Current. It's a very hospitable town. Their local tourism people, they'll come and they'll pick you up and they'll give you a tour of the area. And then the other one is Gore Bay. But the majority of the time, in my view, should be out anchored. It's just spectacular, some of these anchorages.
And you mentioned You mentioned the anchorage at Bay Finn. What are some of your other favorites?
The other favorite, it's called Snug Harbor. And it's just a little cove as you're heading west. And you can take a hike. There's no hills on this particular one, but you take a hike just through the bush, and it's about a 10-minute hike, and you're on the other side of the island, and it's called Fossil Beach. And you just find all of these rocks with fossils in them, and there just seems to be an abundance of them, and it's kind of a neat keepsake that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shortages of anchorages. You just have to watch your weather. But again, the nice thing is that there's protection, you know, very close for any type of wind direction that may come up.
Okay. What about wildlife? In addition to fish, what kind of wildlife will we see, and are there any forms of wildlife there that we should be concerned about?
Well, it is nature, and we have seen bears up there. It is recommended that if you are hiking, that you buy the bells that go on your shoes, and they just sort of make the noise as you're walking. So if our friendly Yogi Bear hears it, he'll hopefully go the other way. There's been no reports, as far as I can remember, that there's been a conflict that way. You're going to see deer, you're going to see beavers, you're going to see otters, you're going to see the full gamut up there.
Wonderful. Any resources you can point us to for people who are looking for more information about the area?
A couple, you can call our boatingontario.ca, or you can look it up, www.boatingontario.ca, or you can contact myself if you wanted, and if I didn't have the right information, I can put you in contact with them. The other thing I do want to mention is that if you're having a crew change, all of these places are near the Trans-Canada Highway. So if you go to one of the marinas, there is for most of them, there is an airport shuttle service available, and they would bring you up to Sudbury Airport, which is it's a major airport, and you can fly out of there if you needed a crew change.
Okay, that's also a question we get a lot, so thank you for providing
Yeah.
that information.
No problem.
What have I neglected to ask about? What else, any other tips or anything else we should know about the North Channel?
The only thing is that Drummond Island, that is the customs port at Drummond Island Yacht Haven, and they are also well serviced there. They have travel lift. They have a great store there. They have a big travel lift. They have hydro 30, 50, and 100 amp gas, diesel. They pretty much have everything there.
Okay,
And
perfect. That's
I'll
great
leave you
information.
with that customs number, just so people have it. It's 906-493-5232.
Perfect. Mike, thank you for sharing your time and your knowledge again. It's obvious that you're very well versed in speaking about your home waters there, and we certainly appreciate you sharing that with those of us who are not as familiar with the area. So thank you.
No problem. And the
If
only other
any,
thing
if
I'd
any.
add, Kim, is that
Yeah.
as you do go further north, if the parts aren't available up there, say for an impeller or a fuel filter or something like that, it could cause you to have 3 or 4 days downtime. So I'm pretty confident that most of the loopers out there carry multiple spare parts, and but just a word of caution, if they haven't looked at their kit lately, that they should probably do so, and just make sure before they venture, north, that they do check their stock and make sure that they have them on board.
Good. That's excellent advice. Thank you so much.
No problem.
If anyone is looking for more information specific to the Great Loop, you can check our website at greatloop.org, or you can call us at 843-879-5030. That's my direct number if anyone is looking to reach me or ask any questions. Mike, what's the best way for people to reach you if they have additional questions?
They can reach me on my cell phone. I'm not in my office too much during this season. So it is 705-730-3093.
All right. Mike, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. We
My
will
pleasure.
be back next week, and next week's topic is doing the loop in a solar-powered boat. So be sure to tune in next Friday at 10 or anytime thereafter to listen to that episode. Until then, safe cruising.
Thank you, Kim.